Warm greetings to one and all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please keep your Bibles turned to Colossians chapter 4. We come to the last three verses of Colossians chapter 4. Take heed to thy ministry is the topic for this morning. As you can see from the last few verses of this chapter, these are all the greetings that the Apostle Paul gave to some of the people that he knew in the church in Colossae. And each and every greeting is different. It is very carefully worded. It is inspired by God. And they are different. To Epaphras, for example, he says, he is one of you, a servant of Christ, which means a slave of Christ. He salutes you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers that he may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Epaphras was sent by the church in Colossae to help minister to the Apostle Paul. This was one of the churches that the Apostle Paul founded. And here in the last three verses, we read of another character. His name was Archippus. Archippus means a horse ruler, H-O-R-S-E, horse ruler. Probably he might have the gift of taming horses. So they named him Archippus. So if you are a farmer and you have a son and you love horses, this is a good name to name your son. A farmer, okay, not a racehorse. Racehorse is no good. That's gambling. Farmer, a horse is good for you to help you till the ground. Archippus, it's a good name. When we serve the Lord like these individuals, some of them will turn out well, some of them will turn out badly. Demas, for example, was one such character. How Epaphras will turn up at the end of his life, we do not know, but so far so good. But Demas, at this point in time, seemed to be pretty good. In verse 14, he was linked with Luke. Luke was the one whom God appointed to write for us the Gospel of Luke as well as the book of Acts. And here in verse 14, Luke and Demas were lumped together and Paul said, both of them greet you. But in the case of Demas, very soon after this, Demas, we are told, would sell the Apostle Paul away. He would quit, in other words. He will not remain faithful to the very end. Therefore, I'd like to ask you a couple of questions. What do you think is better? To start well and then end badly? Or not to start at all and then at the end of your life, you end well? Which one do you think is better? To be a Demas, who started pretty well, but the end of his life, because he loved the world, he gave up. He gave up the Lord. The world is a very attractive place. We sometimes fail to realize that this world that we're living in is a dangerous place. Because of the glitter, the beauty, the glamour, the comfort, and the prosperity that we are living in, we have been lulled into a sense of complacency. And very often when we go out into the world, our guard is down. How do we know our guard is down? For the simple reason is we don't pray. We don't pray and ask the Lord to protect us on this new day. As we leave home, as we enter into the world, returning home 8 hours, 9 hours later, the world will impact us and affect us, or we could impact and affect the world. The fact that we don't pray reveals to us that we do not see that we are living in perilous times. Sometimes we feel that we are living in very friendly times, unless we live in places like Iraq, in places in some parts of Africa where there is still war going on. We take so many things for granted as Christians. We take our faith for granted. We are told as Calvinists that once we are saved forever. No one can take us out of the Father's hand. That's right. If you are truly born again, your salvation is secured. That is, your relationship with God cannot be taken away, not even by Satan, not even by death itself. But if we have sin in our lives, rest assured that the relationship with God is intact. But the fellowship that we have with Him is severed. If we love the world, the love of God, the Bible says, is not in us. It is not a light thing to love the world. Sometimes we put our hands to the plow. We turn back and we stop serving. We stop living for Christ. And we think that all is well because all is indeed seems to be well. I'm healthy. I have a good job. My children are doing well in their studies. I have good health. And everything seems to be so rosy. I get my bonus every year and I get my promotion. And all I do is just come to church. I don't tell anybody about Christ. I just do my own little thing. And everything seems to be pretty well. Archippus, some commentators presume, would probably be a leader whom the church had appointed to replace Epaphras, whom they have sent to look after the needs of the Apostle Paul. Because the word, take heed to the ministry, is the word where we get the word deacon. So it was an official ministry, official title that Archippus had, that he was now told to take very, very careful note of. The ministry, the appointment that he had been given, he had been assigned. Very often we don't. We feel like it, we serve. We don't feel like it, we stop serving. We feel like it, we sing in the choir. We don't feel like it, we don't come. Very little commitment. We come and go as we please. We feel like it, we help out in DVBS. We don't feel like it, we don't help out in DVBS. That's the lackadaisical attitude that we often give to the Lord. Who are we serving? Pray tell. Are we serving man or are we serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? If we are serving God Himself, then we need to ask ourselves a very serious question. What makes your service such a big deal that God the Father should accept it? Who do you think you are that God would want to accept your service? Have you ever asked yourself that question before? We do God no favor when we serve Him. When we are given the privilege and opportunity to serve, please understand that it is the greatest honor bestowed upon the creatures that God has created. Do you realize that? We are sinners. And because as sinners, everything we touch will leave the stain of sin. Study the book of Leviticus. The first offering that the priest, the high priest himself, must give every day is the sin offering. And that is the offering for purification. He can't even start to use the altar to sacrifice his burnt offering, which is for the atonement of his sin, unless the altar had been purified, because sin will leave a stain. And as Christians, therefore, the Bible tells us, you have been given the privilege and honor because of what Jesus Christ has done in your life. That whatever you serve, even as small as giving someone a cup of cold water in Jesus' name, you will not lose your reward. In Jesus' name. Please understand the phrase, in Jesus' name. If you serve for any other reason, for promotion, for popularity, to chalk up some points against someone, hoping that in the future you can recall all these good deeds and take them back in return. When you are in need, you better help me because on this date, on this date, on this date, I help you. I gave you so much time, so much money. You better help me back in return. If you serve for all these reasons, you can forget it. Please. You and I are doing God no favor if we are serving Him. Please understand. Yes, leaders may coax you, may ask you. Some may even beg you to come and help. But that is from our level, from our part. But from God's perspective, please don't ever, ever think that God needs us. Every single one of us, no one is indispensable. Only God is. All of us can be replaced. And therefore, as long as there is breath in our body, as long as you have been given a gift, and we study the book of Colossians, and the Bible tells us that every one of us has been given at least one gift. If you are a Christian, all of us, without exception, has been given at least one gift. And if you are not serving and you call yourself a child of God, what kind of children are we? Having tasted so much from God, God gave us His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. When He hung on the cross for your sins and for my sins, and when He was buffeted, humiliated, punched, whipped, the crown of thorns was forced down on His head, God the Father stood there and watched all these things done to His only begotten Son. If it had been your son, your daughter, being buffeted and punched and kicked by someone, would you stand there or would you help? Think very carefully. If you have the power to help, would you still stand there and do nothing? God did nothing, you know that? God did absolutely nothing. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He gave us so much so that you and I, sinners, will no more touch and leave a sinful stain, but saved by the grace and the mercies of God, our salvation, which we do not deserve, transformed us and make us from enemies to the family of God. And God equipped all of us with at least one gift, some gifts for service. And God says, take heed to thy ministry. It's a very, very great privilege to serve Him. And very often we give God our crumbs, the crumbs that fall down from our table. We give God whatever little time that we have left. Whatever time that I have used, I use first. Whatever that is left over, we give to the Lord. Remember the two sons of Eli, which we spurned and we rebuked and we hated them? The two sons of Eli. Eli was a high priest. They were his assistants. These two priests caused the people to despise the offerings. The sin offering and the burnt offering, the peace offering and the wave offering. Why? Because they were fornicators. Because when the people came, they pick and choose what they want first before the people are allowed to offer. God had really stipulated very carefully these parts of the animal, the best parts are to be offered to God. And these are the certain parts for you priests to consume. They didn't care. They just pick and choose what is best for me. We take first, and whatever that is left behind, you can offer to the Lord. We despise them. We rebuke them. We say, we'll never be like them. And God punished Eli for his refusal to discipline his two sons with the cessation of the entire priestly line. That priestly line will be cut off. And it was cut off in the days of King Saul by Doeg, an Edomite. Left Abiathar, and he too was cut off at the close of King David's reign when Solomon took over, replaced him with Zadok. We despise such people who will take the best for themselves and left behind the crumbs. Whatever they don't want, they give to the Lord. Here you can give to the Lord. And we do the same thing with our service. This epistle to the Colossians, Paul says in verse 16, please circulate it. Sent it also to the Laodiceans. In other words, what we read here is for everyone. It concerns all of us. It is not only for the Christians in Colossae. It's also for the Christians in Laodicea, a neighboring city like Ephesus. Laodicea also received an epistle which we do not have. God did not see fit to preserve for us. What is preserved, we have it in Holy Scriptures perfectly without mistakes. It concerns all of us. We cannot say, well, it's only for the Colossians. It's only for the Laodiceans. It's for all of us. What we read here in Holy Scriptures is for all of us, especially if you are a child of God. All of us. Can our heart be so hardened that there is no gratitude in us? That when we are asked to serve the Lord, we just count the cost in a very, very self-centered way. My job first, my this first, my that first, my tennis, my golf, my this and my that. And then maybe I have a little bit of time here. Okay, maybe I'll come. Then if you come, you come for a month or two and 6 months, and then our interest will wane, and then we just slowly disappear and do nothing. And then by the time we realize it, we wake up from our stupor, our slumber. The best years of our lives are gone. We are now in our 60s. In the age of retirement, no more work, no more, nothing to do. All right, let me go and serve the Lord. Nothing to do, okay, serve the Lord, nothing to do. Nothing to do, we serve the Lord. Sad, isn't it? So sad. Ungrateful. That's what we are. We talk about the 10 lepers who were healed and only one to come back and say thank you. And we study that as a theory. Very much like the 9 who were healed, then the 1 who was a Samaritan who came back and said, thank you, Lord. The other 9 went back to their families, went back to their jobs, went back to society, because as lepers, they were an outcast. All of them were outcasts. They didn't care whether they hated Samaritans or hated Gentiles. When they were all in the same boat, we're all lepers, we are going to die a very slow, smelly, and painful death anyway. All their prejudices were gone. But the moment they were healed, the prejudices all came back. Instantaneously. Now we are back to society, we are back to family. No time to even go back and say, thank you, Lord. No time. My salvation is secure, right, Lord? Thank you very much. Now please let me live my life my way on earth. Don't bother me. Don't bother me anymore. Please. When I have lived my life to the fullest, when I have made my millions, when I have made my built my houses, my cars, and everything, then maybe, Lord, maybe I'll serve you. And we think that God is now so impressed by our wealth and our so-called service. Please, we do God no favor when we serve Him. It is the greatest privilege and honor bestowed upon you and me to serve Him. And if we do not give Him the very best, which is our reasonable service, God says it is unacceptable. He gave us His best. He did not have 3, 4, 5 sons. There's only one son. That's it, one son. And He gave His son to die for you and me, and He stood there. He did not lift a finger to help His son, to deliver him from the humiliation, the pain, and the suffering because of His love for you and for me while we were His enemies. He just stood there and let His son be buffeted, be humiliated, and then finally to be crucified and to be killed for your sins and for my sins. Forsaken by God for you and for me. And now we want to forsake Him because we love the world like Demas. Or are we like Archippus? This epistle is for all of us. Archippus probably was a leader. He was growing tired, perhaps. He was a courageous man. For Archippus, the Bible tells us in Philemon 2 that he was Paul's fellow soldier. Paul did not call him fellow worker the way that he used to describe others. He called him fellow worker, not fellow prisoner. Sorry, fellow soldier, not fellow prisoner or fellow worker. In verse 10, he called Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, salute you. And Jesus, which means Joshua, which is called Justice, these only are my fellow workers. But Archippus, fellow soldier, he was a courageous man. Initially, perhaps. But he may have grown tired. Tired of the trials, the problems, the fightings, the ministry per se. Now, why did Paul not write to Archippus directly? He deliberately wrote this message to Archippus publicly, telling the members to tell this leader, tell him to take heed, right, and say to Archippus. It was a public, in inverted commas, rebuke or encouragement that Paul purposely wanted the congregation in Colossae to tell this particular leader, who may be so weighed down by the burdens and the problems that he encountered. And there were many problems through the study of this book of Colossians. Many problems, wrong doctrines. Chapter 2, many wrong doctrines. Remember, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Verse 16, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days. Verse 18, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshipping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Verse 21, touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. He faced many doctrinal issues. They have crept into the church, and the Christians in Colossae, some of them perhaps were affected by it. And Archippus was the replacement leader to Epaphras. He was a little tired, weighing in his spirit, weighing in his courage, wanted to throw in the towel perhaps. And then in chapter 3 and 4, wrong living, wrong doctrines, wrong living. And so chapter 3 and 4, wrong living. If ye then be reasoned with Christ, verse 1, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. So there were members in the church who subscribed to wrong doctrines, and there were other members, maybe the same members who subscribed to wrong doctrines, but there were others who loved the world, set their affections on things on the earth, no more on things of the heavenly realm. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ. Verse 3, chapter 3. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members, put to death therefore your bodily members, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. For things, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime in the past. That's what we were. Why do you want to go back to all these things? But now ye are also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. And then he went on to talk about all the different kinds of relationships, all the personal problems between wives and husbands, parents and children, children and fathers, servants and masters. One long list of all the many, many problems. Do you feel like Archippus? The elders? You all feel like Archippus. Huh, elders? Feel like Archippus and all the doctrinal problems, the problems of the church, weighed him down. And that's why perhaps Paul wanted the congregation. He could have easily written a private note to Archippus, easily, because someone carried this epistle. He could have just easily written another private note. This is for Archippus only. Omit verse 7. He did not. He deliberately wanted the people to be involved, and he wanted the people to say to Archippus instead of Paul himself telling Archippus. Why? Mutual exhortation and encouragement, including the leaders themselves who needed it. You want to be tired and you want to give up, throw in the towel? Who doesn't? Archippus also wanted to throw in the towel. He was a fellow soldier and he was tired, he was waning. And that's why he was encouraged. And Paul says, all of you tell Archippus. Which leader in the BOE is called Archippus? You know any Archippus? You better go up to Archippus and better tell him. Archippus is going to quit. Take heed. There are many words in the Bible to describe the word beware. About 6 or 8 of them. And all of them with a little different twist, a little different nuance. And this particular choice here, it's the same word that you find in Matthew 5:28. In Matthew 5:28, you know what is Matthew 5:28? Every time you think of Matthew 5, 6, and 7, think of the Sermon on the Mount, 5, 6, and 7. Okay? Matthew 5:28. This is a warning to the disciples, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman. Now, the word looketh is the same word. Use here, take heed. looker than a woman to lust after her, hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Looketh. That means observe voluntarily. Same, Matthew 5:18. If you observe a woman voluntarily, on your own accord, willfully, you cannot blame the advertisers. You cannot blame the advertisement. You cannot even blame the woman who dressed like that. You yourself voluntarily observe, stare. And this is the same kind of attitude that Paul wanted Archippus, not at the woman, at his ministry. The ministry, his calling that God had given to him. Voluntarily observe, present tense, do it all the time. Don't lose sight of this. Consciously, voluntarily observe the ministry that God has given to you, whatever calling that you have received from the Lord, each and every one of us as God's children. Each and every one of us as God's children. You have a good voice? Use it for God's glory. There were many, many choir members the first time when this choir was formed in the days of Reverend Stephen Kuh. They have quit. Why? Cares of the world, cares of looking after children, the deceitfulness of money have robbed them of service. Do they still have the voice? You know, and the Lord knows. There are some who serve in the children's ministry, given up. There are those who serve in positions of leadership, given up. There are those who have taught the Word of God, given up. There are those who used to attend YF zealously, YAF zealously, AF given up because the cares of the world as a young adult, many. I must build my empire first. I must build my little nest egg first before I serve. Given up. God says, you take heed. Present tense, continuously. If you have given up, you come back to the Lord. And while you are serving, you look to God, you don't look to man. If it is God's calling for you to be there, there will be difficulties, there will be problems, there will be trials. Which service has no difficulty, no trial? Everyone will have, especially when you want to serve God, because the enemies out there, Satan and his soldiers, they will despise you, they will hinder you, they will hate you. And therefore, it is a spiritual warfare. It is a spiritual exercise. He can cause us to fall by the wayside in service in many ways. He can use difficulty. He can use difficult person. He can also use the soft approach. May be very effective in the soft approach. Money. Responsibilities. Family responsibilities. Jobs. Promotion. All these things are very, very attractive. Many ways to skin a cat. He knows. And he will put them in our pathway. Archippus felt it. Take heed. Voluntary observation. Present tense. You have to do it consciously. You have to beware of it. Beware of the temptations that will come and cause you to give up and to grow tired. And don't blame it on your children. That is the worst thing you could do. It is a blessing. Don't blame it. Turn them into a curse. Oh, it's my children's fault that I'm not serving. Don't blame the children. Did you not pray and ask the Lord to give you your children? Don't use them as an excuse not to serve the Lord. It's a blessing. Don't turn into a curse. There is nobody's fault but yourself. Because you deliberately chose not to voluntarily observe and watch what God has called you to do. The ministry, the Bible says, which thou hast received in the Lord, not by the Lord. The emphasis is not by the Lord. It's not so much who has given you the ministry, which is true. The Lord is the one who has given us the ministry. But that's not the emphasis here. But this emphasis is, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord when you were saved. You never had this ministry when you were not saved. You couldn't have any ministry when you were not saved. It is true, the ministry comes from the Lord, but that's not what Paul wanted to emphasize to Archippus. Paul wanted Archippus to realize that this was a ministry that you have received in the Lord while you are saved, after you are saved. to remind us of the great honor and privilege of service. If you are not saved, you can't even serve, even if you want to. You can't serve. During the teens retreat, we talked about edifying one another. What does it mean to edify? It means to impart blessings, spiritual blessings. You can edify one another. You can even edify an unbeliever. But an unbeliever cannot edify you back in return. They can give you money, but they cannot edify you because they are not spiritual. They are dead in their sin. Edify one another is always, always involve spiritual blessings. As God's children, realize that you can impart spiritual blessing by the way that you live, by the way that you speak. And the blessings will be eternal. The blessing and the impact that you have lasts for eternity, far, far better than whatever blessings in inverted commas that an unbeliever could ever give. And we compare it with Minister Mentor's contribution to the nation of Singapore. It is only good if there continues to be a successful successor. True? If you get an incompetent successor, everything will be ruined. It's only good for that brief moment in time when there is a good, honorable, trustworthy successor to continue on the work. It does not last. And even if you can find a good successor, the Bible tells us that every island will be destroyed. The work of Singapore will be destroyed. And to compare with that of a child who is a believer, he may just do something so simple, so insignificant in his own childish way. Giving someone a cup of cold water, give a helping hand, just say a word of encouragement, a smile, sing a wonderful song that may touch somebody's heart. Compared to the work of these great men conquering, changing nations as unbelievers, do not know Christ. What this child did far exceeds what the other great man could have ever done or may have ever done. Because all these will disappear. But the work of this child lasts for eternity. That's why, Archippus, you remember. You remember what God has given you to do. You have received in the Lord. After you are saved, you are given this honor, this privilege to serve the Lord. Don't give up. Don't turn back. Continue to serve Him faithfully. For how long? That thou fulfill it to the very end. To the very end of your life and your ministry. Don't give up. Serve to the very end. Until there is no more breath in your body, you keep on serving. Keep on serving. Keep on serving. Take heed to the ministry that God has given to us. It is the greatest privilege and honor given to us. The salutation by the hands of me, Paul says, remember my bonds. Grace be unto you. Why did he add the phrase, remember my bonds? He was in prison because of the ministry. He was in prison because of the faith. He was not giving Archippus something that he himself is not experiencing every day of his life. While he was in prison, waiting to be killed, he encouraged others. He wanted Archippus to hold on to the very end of his life, serving the Lord. Take heed to thy ministry, Archippus. And he says, pray for me. Paul says, remember my bonds. Remember me in your prayers. How to remember him in his bonds? Commit him before God's throne that he will not give up. We all need each other's encouragement and sincere prayers, sincere words. We all do. Archippus needed this boost. So do your leaders. So does every one of us. We needed this little boost, this little prod to continue on the ministry. It's tiring, granted. No doubt about it. But as you grow older, you realize the importance of service. You think back on how much you could have done. And those years are wasted. It will not come back. But if you have been serving the Lord faithfully, you know time flies. You know the days whereby we can serve the Lord are numbered. The day of the Lord is very near. Please, dear friends. Don't treat serving the Lord as something that is dishonorable. It is the highest honor that God could give to us. We serve the King of Kings. We serve no man. We serve not for money. We serve our Lord and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, who loved us, who gave his all to us. Serve him with your all. It is the greatest and the blessedest, most blessed service you and I could ever do. And when somebody asks you to serve, count it an honor and a privilege. Pray about it sincerely. And if it is within your gift, pray and commit it and serve the Lord. For how long? Until you fulfill it to the very end. In the Old Testament, there was a king by the name of Manasseh. He served the longest compared to all the kings in Judah. In 2 Chronicles 33, 11 to 17, we have an account of Manasseh. Manasseh was the worst of all the kings of Judah. It was during his reign that God sent this judgment. Because of what Judah had become, because of you, Manasseh, I'm going to send the Babylonians to come and punish you. Punish all of Judah. Destroy it completely. And Manasseh was captured by the Assyrians, sent to Babylon, because at the time Babylon was occupied by the Assyrians. And while he was in prison, by God's grace and mercy, he was converted. And this was what happened after his conversion. 2 Chronicles 33:11. Wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the hosts of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh. Verse 12. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers and prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him and heard his supplication and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. And so he was restored back to Judah, to Jerusalem. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. Now after this, he built a wall outside the city of David on the west side of Gihon in the valley, even to the entering in at the fish gate. Verse 16, he repaired the altar of the Lord, sacrificed thereon peace offerings, thank offerings, and commanded Judah to serve the Lord God of Israel. So he was converted. He realized his mistake. He wanted to undo all that he had done. All that he had done wrong in impacting Judah in the worst way possible. He tried to clean up the temple, remove all the idols and return back to the Lord and try to redirect Judah back to the Lord. After so many years of compromise, of idolatrous worship, now that the king had been converted, he thought that he could undo all the bad things. Note verse 17. Nevertheless, the people did sacrifice still in the high places, yet unto the Lord their God only. Did they listen? No. They continued to worship idols. Manasseh, you want us to worship the Lord? We'll worship the Lord. But let us continue to worship idols. It was a syncretistic worship. His impact was so devastatingly bad that even after the king had been regenerated, he could not do anything. He was helpless. Edify one another. Could be for the worst or for the better. Remember that our callousness could result in the life of a sinner with a prejudice that may last his lifetime against Christianity. Please remember this. The moment you become a Christian, you call yourself a Christian, your life is never seated on the fence. It's either for the good or for the worse. Remember the impact of a stumbling block to your own family members and to the people around you. So much so that even at the tail end of your life, you may repent and you want to come back and serve the Lord. But the impact that you have left behind could be so devastatingly bad, like Manasseh. He was saved, yes, by the end of his life. But how many lives he ruined as a wicked king for so many decades? He could not undo them, even if he tried, and he tried. Please remember, Joash, another king. He was a baby saved by his uncle. And the Bible tells us that he was a good king so long as his uncle was alive. But the moment his uncle died, he brought in idolatry. Don't be this kind of people in your service. Don't serve man. Joash was only a good king because he served his uncle, a priest. After his death, the true Joash was revealed, idolatrous in his worship, in his service. You serve the king, like Daniel. Purpose in his heart never to defile himself, and that purpose lasted his entire lifetime. His entire life. Look at the Apostle Paul, the responsive reading passage we read. He has completed the race, he has finished the course that the Lord has set for him. And he was ready because he gave his entire life to serve the Lord immediately after he was saved. Immediately after he received from the Lord the ministry in the Lord. He fulfilled it. And that's exactly what he wants Archippus to do. And then Paul concluded, "Grace be with you." Remember how this epistle began? Grace and peace, no mercy. Why? Because mercy means you and I have to repent of our sin. This church was wracked with many problems, many temptations. Some have succumbed. If they don't repent, there is no mercy. Remember the grace that means the goodness of God, the blessings of God in your heart, in your life. Same with us today. Grace and peace, mercy comes when you and I repent of our sin. We come back and serve the Lord with whatever time that we have left. No one is guaranteed 70 years and 10. No one. Every day is a day where we can edify one another, where we can be a blessing. We can serve the Lord. Take heed to thy ministry that you have received in the Lord and fulfill it. What is that ministry that the Lord has given to you that you have put by the wayside? Come back and serve the Lord. The gift is still there. Serve him. It is the greatest privilege and honor given to us. Don't be a Manasseh. Don't be a Joash. Be a Paul. The choice is yours to make. As long as there is breath, you can still make the choice. And take heed. Voluntary observation, present tense, continuously. Observe where the Lord has called you. Let us pray. Our gracious, merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, O Lord, for life that Thou hast given to us in this body. And we thank Thee, Father, for spiritual life, for the life that Thou hast enabled us to experience in our hearts, that our eyes have been opened to see into the spiritual realm, to see beyond the affairs and matters of this life, into eternity, with the hope of the resurrection and the return of our Savior to take us home unto Himself. And while we wait, O Lord, we know that we are living in perilous times and the world is a battleground, a battle for the souls of men, women, and children. Help us, Father, to take heed of the ministry that Thou hast given to us in the Lord, that we may each and every one of us encourage one another to fulfill it to the very end of our life, until we meet Thee face to face. We pray especially, Father, for every session members, that Thou will protect them, defend them against the wiles of the devil, that if there be anyone who is tired, who feel like giving up, O Lord, may Thou encourage us and lift us up, that we may know that we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and not man, and that we need to fulfill this calling that you have set for each and every one of us. And may we do it with thy enabling, with joy and with gladness. And may we mutually encourage one another toward this higher service that thou hast bestowed upon sinners such as ourselves. O Lord, forgive us, Father, for the many times when we have served thee, murmuring and complaining. Forgive us, O Lord, when we have stopped serving because of the attractions of the world, very much like Demas. O Lord, help us. Restore the first love that was burning, that once upon burned so brightly and strongly in our hearts. And may we continue to serve Thee with joy and with gladness, until we see the Lord face to face. Bless thy church and bless every child of thine to know that we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and it will not be in vain for Jesus' sake. In Jesus' name we give thanks and pray. Amen.